only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Good morning. Welcome to Webster Groves Baptist Church. Happy Mother's Day to you all. I hope you were able to join us for some breakfast this morning. I think it was a fun time. If you didn't get enough to eat, we certainly tried. So we don't have too many announcements today. We will be back on our regular schedule next week with Sunday school beginning at 9:45 and worship at 11. Thanks to our singers, Amanda, Olivia, and Cameron, we very much are going to miss you guys and have enjoyed having you. And thanks to Ben as well for you're not over there anymore for playing for them so greatly. So if you would find in your pew the little brown book, register your presence with us today, if you will. If you haven't already done so, please leave us a way to get in touch with you. Thank you for being here today. And you may also share prayer requests with us through that booklet as well. If you don't want to share them directly with the pastor, you can do it that way. Unless there are other announcements, it's kind of a light day for that. Let's prepare to worship together.
Good morning, Webster Groves. And happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful mothers here. Again, thank you all for coming out early this morning and allowing us to make breakfast for you. Someone has already commented that the food was filling and some of us are already sleepy. I am very aware of that. So when sermon time comes, I have already taken that into account. I want to extend congratulations to Ben and to Cameron. Ben and Cameron both graduated this week or yesterday, correct? So, that does that officially make you all adults now? And and also, we think about Cameron as well, because Cameron will be getting married very soon as well. So, we have multiple things to be thankful for. Multiple things that we will be praying with you all for as you seek jobs, as you seek God's grace and guidance for your future as well. We are extremely excited to have met you this last year, and not just met you, but to have begun to build a relationship with you over the last year and a half. And you all have blessed us very deeply by becoming a part of this family and participating on a regular basis. So thank you all so much for being willing to do that. And thank you to your parents as well for being willing to share you with us. So we are extremely thankful. The only other thing that I have is outside next to the bulletins, there's a small slip of paper that we have talked about last week. This summer we're going to do, like we did last summer, our music will be primarily people's favorite hymns. But in addition to that, if you are interested in hearing a very particular type, a sermon that addresses a particular subject, a particular passage, a particular book of the Bible, take just a few moments and write that on this slip of paper and turn it in when the offering plate comes around. If you don't have one of these slips of paper, any piece of paper will do. But I'm very interested in hearing what people's ideas are. How can we spend this summer being more, how can I be more intentional over the summer and helping to address some of the spiritual needs that people within our congregation have? So please take just a few moments to fill out one of these slips of paper and turn it in, and you will help me think about and pray about what we will examine through God's Word this summer. With that being said, let us bow and let us begin our worship together, the moment of prayer. God, we are thankful for this day. We are thankful for life, health, and strength. We are thankful for how kind and gracious you have been to us since the last time we gathered together, and we don't take that for granted. But we also thank you for what today represents, Lord, Mother's Day, a day where we specifically acknowledge and recognize the blessings that you have given us in the forms of our mothers, our wives, our daughters, our sisters. We are thankful for all women who make a difference in our lives, whether they gave birth to us or not. We thank you that they fill so many needs that we have in our lives, Lord, from kind words to loving embraces to words of wisdom and even stern encouragement. We thank you, Lord, that they reflect the principles that you outline in your word. We are thankful for how our wives, our mothers, our sisters, our daughters, how they are so always so dependable and so caring towards us. And Lord, we can never repay them for the things that they do for us or for our family members. But we pray, Lord, that they would know that we do appreciate them and that we see them as gifts from you. And we thank you, Lord, that they model your love towards us. So as we worship you today, Lord, we also give praise for them. And Lord, I pray that they again will understand how much they mean to us. So as we sing today, as we give, as we read, as we consider what your word says, we pray, Lord, that our time together would be filled with your presence, filled with your spirit. And we pray that you'd be pleased with it today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now let's sing out of the White Pew Book. We're going to sing 150, "Is My Life Is in You."
Of Psalms, chapter 31. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, leads me and guides me. Take me out of that net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commend my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and my persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now let's turn to hymn 61, "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us." We'll sing verse 1, 2, and 4.
Shepherd, lead us, much we need thy tender care. In thy present pictures, feed us, for our use thy faults prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine, we are. Blessed strength. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our beings fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
As we come to this time of prayer, think with me about some thoughts I've had. I'm grateful for this beautiful day. I'm grateful for this day that we can honor mothers. I'm grateful for my mother and for my wife, the mother of my children, and for my daughters and mothers, my grandchildren. I'm grateful for so many women that I've met in church over the years that were always willing. When mom would come to church with four boys, they were always willing to help her out. If mom and dad would be in the choir or wherever, there was always someone that says, well, we'll take this half and keep them quiet, and you take that half, and good luck with them. But I'm grateful for Christian women that were willing to step in and be there to help parents. And I think of that example often. I try to put it into use too, to help people when you can. Every little thing is appreciated. I'm grateful for the beautiful music we're hearing this morning. I'm grateful that we live in this great country and we can come and worship our Lord as we see fit today. Never ever take that for granted. I'm sure Terrell will tell us after being in Cuba, it's not always easy to worship the Lord you love. Some prayer concerns that have come to my mind. Be with those that are traveling. There are lots of people traveling to see their mothers. It's the start of summer vacations and stuff, and people are traveling with schools or with other organizations or just family vacations, and we want to remember to watch over them, ask God to watch over them and give them a safe journey. Wendy told me a while ago that one of their co-workers, Rachel McDonald, her mother passed away this morning. So that's a memory that'll be there for a long time. So we want to remember that family. Are there other praises or prayer concerns that you'd like to share with the congregation? But yes, Heather. Okay. Any others? Yes, sir.
I'd like to thank the Lord for getting me here today and for having a healthy daughter, three great grandchildren.
Very good. And we're glad to see you again, too. Wendy? Yeah, Judy. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are joyful to be in your house today, to be in your presence. We thank you, dear Lord, for the love that you give us each day. the love that we do not deserve. We thank you, Lord, for how you take care of us by putting people in our lives, whether it be family or co-workers or nurses and doctors, to take care of us when we're not feeling well. We ask, Lord, that you will be with this body of believers. Watch over us, guide us. May we bring honor to your name. Dear Lord, for those that are facing health issues and struggles of losing family members, we ask that you will be with them and comfort them as only you can. And at the same time, dear Lord, as we think about the newness of life starting today, and we celebrate that, and we realize that that too also comes from you, we ask, Lord, that you will be with us and guide us, that we might do things to honor your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now, if you'll use your hymnals, we're going to use a look at 507, Would You Bless Our Homes and Families, and you'll know the tune once you hear it. We're going to sing verse 1, 3, and 4. If you're able, let's stand and sing our offertory, I Will Serve Thee. And it's out of the pew book, is 119. You may be seated.
Scripture for our sermon today is from the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. When I was in trouble, Lord, I prayed to you, and you listened to me. From deep in the world of the dead, I begged for your help, and you answered my prayer. You threw me down to the bottom of the sea. The water was churning all around. I was completely covered by your mighty waves. I thought I was swept away from your sight, never again to see your holy temple. I was almost drowned by the swirling waters that surrounded me. Seaweed had wrapped around my head. I had sunk down below the underwater mountains. I knew that forever I would be a prisoner there. But you, Lord God, rescued me from that pit. When my life was slipping away, I remembered you. And in your holy temple, you heard my prayer. All who worship worthless idols turn from the God who offers them mercy. But with shouts of praise, I will offer a sacrifice to you, my Lord. I will keep my promise, because you are the one with the power to save. The Lord commanded the fish to vomit up Jonah on the shore, and it did. This is the word of the Lord.
Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. My one defense, my right.
As today is Mother's Day, I'm especially thinking about my grandmother, Genevieve. I've talked about her many, many Sundays. I know you all know that. And she is the woman that raised, along with my grandfather, they raised me and my twin brother. And as today is Mother's Day, I'm thinking about the advice that Genevieve used to give me and my twin brother. On more than one occasion, she told me and Darrell that falling down is a part of life. Have any of you all ever heard that statement before? Have any of your mothers or you as mothers have given your children, your grandchildren, that kind of advice? Genevieve used to say, life will occasionally get hard and it will throw things at you that you may not be ready for. And sometimes you're going to fail. You will make mistakes that you will regret, but that's just a part of life, she used to tell us. She would tell us that there's nothing bad about falling or failing. There are multiple reasons for failing in life. There are multiple reasons that you may fall down, but what's most important is not that you failed or that you fell in the first place. What's most important is that you are willing to get back up, to fix your mistake, and to try again. And believe me, Genevieve lived long enough to see both me and Darrell make a lot of mistakes. She saw us fall down many times, both literally and figuratively. Every time I talk about falling down in Genevieve's presence, I think about the scar that I have on my head. I don't know if any of you all have ever seen it or paid attention to it. My twin brother and I were, I can't remember how old we were, but we were in elementary school, and I thought I was Evel Knievel on my bike with training wheels. And I tried to pop a wheelie and turn a corner at the same time, and I fell against a brick wall and busted my head open. And you can imagine who was the first one on the scene to try to make things better. It was Genevieve. But she saw us fall, both literally and figuratively, many times. And she was always there to help us get back up and to dust ourselves off. And the wonderful thing about our failures was that they never caused her to stop loving us. No matter how many times we fell down, no matter how many times we got things wrong, she never stopped treating us like anything other than her babies. She would say that there was nothing that we could do that would cause her to stop loving us or to change our feelings, her feelings about us. In addition to helping us get up and dust ourselves off, she did something else that I came to appreciate as I got older. She would encourage us to never let our mistakes hold us hostage. Do any of you all know what I mean when I say that phrase, don't let your mistakes hold you hostage? She would tell us that, yes, you've made a mistake, or yes, you messed up badly, but your past does not have to control your future. And as one who would sometimes mull over my mistakes and replay them in my mind over and over again, those words, the past does not have to have control of your future, on many occasions served to snap me out of a funk or prompted me to end a pity party that I was having for myself. Are any of you like me? Sometimes you have the tendency to allow yourself to be haunted by the past, to be haunted by bad decisions, to be haunted by mistakes. In the book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, Good News for the Bedraggled, Beat Up, and Burnt Out, Franciscan priest Brent Manning writes about this very idea. Ragamuffin Gospel is a book that affirms the idea that our relationship with God through Christ is built on grace. And any effort that we may make in trying to earn salvation is misguided. And because of this wonderful grace, we are not disqualified from God's family anytime we make a mistake. As Genevieve would say, there's nothing that we can do that would cause God to stop loving us. Manning believed that the true meaning of God's grace has been lost in our society due to a constant search to merely please God, as though God is a small-minded bookkeeper, Manning says, who keeps track of how many times we made a mistake or how many times we've fallen and waits to dole out punishment every time we fail at something. Manning didn't believe that. And Manning wrote to convince his readers that they could breathe easy because God wanted them to embrace this holy gift of grace and its power to change a person's outlook and its power to change a person's life. In the book, Manning writes, sin and forgiveness and falling and getting back up and losing the great pearl, or the pearl of great price in the couch cushions, but then finding it again and losing it again and finding it again and losing it again and again. Those are the stumbling steps to becoming real. The only script that's really worth following in this world, or the one that's coming. Now, I realize that it can be hard for some people to believe that God does not keep score, but that's what makes God, God. In a sense, Jonah is on the way to learning this lesson in the passage that was read for us today. In Jonah chapter 2, in that passage, Jonah deals with the fact that he has sinned. He has fallen short. He's made a mistake, or whatever way you want to put it. Jonah has not done what God wanted him to do. And he must deal with the consequences of not getting things right. But before it's all said and done, Jonah is reminded of God's love toward him, even though Jonah had failed. As we talked about last week, God gave Jonah a simple task. Preach repentance to the people of Nineveh. The problem with this is that Nineveh was home to the mortal enemies of Jonah's people. And Jonah did not want to see the people of Nineveh repent and receive God's grace. He wanted them to suffer and die for everything wrong that they had done to the children of Israel, to Jonah's people. So instead of going to Nineveh as God had commanded, you all have read the story before, you know what he did. He boards a boat going in the opposite direction. Dr. William Call III says, Jonah is the quintessential human being, the classic model of the human species, for there is an irreducible flaw in his character, one that he cannot erase on his own. It is his desire to control his own destiny and to determine who should and should not be punished. If we were to be honest, we all could probably acknowledge that Jonah acted as many of us would if we were given such a task as God had given to him. We would probably put ourselves in the position of judge and jury and determine that our ought against someone or against another group of people was more important than their forgiveness. We too would have likely gone in the opposite direction of where God was trying to send us, and we would have felt righteous about doing that. But Jonah's sense of justice was misplaced. God's ability to love and forgive was not focused solely on Israel and Jonah's people. God's love was large enough to even encompass their enemies. Reverend Don K. Rojewski says, no matter how much we may, like Jonah, desire to put God in a box to be manipulated according to our interpretations of justice and mercy, it is simply not possible. Jonah cannot accept a God who can change his mind. Jonah cannot accept God's conception of justice. Jonah's conception of justice resembles what modern Christians have called a good works philosophy, Reverend Rojewski says. Deliverance must be merited by the cumulative actions of a lifetime. And for Noah, Nineveh is a symbol of all that is evil in the world, a symbol of all the peoples who oppose God. And Reverend Rojewski ends by saying, aware that any repentance would likely be short-lived, Jonah could even picture himself as a traitor to Israel, to his homeland, God's chosen people. And in Jonah's mind, God must be wrong. Deliverance of his foes was just not right. Jonah would not compound the error if he could help himself. Yet God condescended to try to explain himself to the wayward prophet. And in the end, Jonah learned that God will always act in ways that are consonant with God's ultimate salvific purposes. So Jonah does what he thinks is best, and he tries to run in the opposite direction. But Jonah could not flee from God's will, and he eventually finds himself sinking to the bottom of the sea during a tremendous storm. And the only thing that stops his descent is a great fish that swallows him. And what we read, or what was read for us in Jonah chapter 2, is a psalm that describes his thoughts after finding himself in the belly of this great fish. And that's true of many of the traditional psalms that we read that were written by David or Solomon or other people. This psalm that is attributed to Jonah is a plea for God's mercy and grace, and it's also a praise for God's eventual deliverance. It is a psalm that was written from a place of fear and pain. It was written from a place of acknowledging sin and repenting. It is a confession acknowledging that Jonah may die because he had not done what God wanted him to do, but he also knew that he went against God's wishes, and he literally and figuratively was descending to his death. But ultimately, he knows that God has the ability to be merciful to him, that God has the ability to deliver him. Reverend David Lillegard says, there is an irony in this psalm. It is ironical that the form of psalm is a form of deliverance, and it has apocalyptic imagery of Sheol, which is the pit, which is the deep. It's the place that nobody wanted to go to. The psalmist sinking into floods, that all of this lyrical energia, which is used to transport the suffering psalmist into an apocalyptic realm, is here almost a literal description of a man sinking into the sea. The image is never referential in this sense in the psalm, but yet here, Jonah is actually put into the sea, and the sea itself is a lower abyss whose bottom borders on Sheol. I think the point that he's trying to make is that this is an acknowledgement that because of Jonah's sin, he finds himself knocking on death's door. He finds himself about to enter into a place that he knows there's no return from, or that he believes there's no return from. Jonah finds himself in a place of literal and figurative darkness where he cannot save himself. He finds himself in darkness that is rightly deserved. Now, may I pause for a second and ask all of you all a question? I'm going to even ask myself this question, and don't answer it out loud. Have you ever found yourself in darkness that was well deserved? I don't ask that question as a way to point fingers at anyone. I ask it as a way for us to be truthful with ourselves. Have you ever found yourself in a dark place because of something that you did? I think a sign of spiritual maturity is recognizing that every dark day is not someone else's fault. Every trial that we face is not someone else's doing. Sometimes we are the reason we are where we are in life. And it's hard for me not to think that Jonah realizes this and has this as his underlying foundation of the prayer that he eventually writes. It's also hard for me not to think that Jonah can see this predicament not only as a consequence of his refusal to follow God's direction, but I also think that Jonah has a small glimmer of hope that this great fish, that this situation that he finds himself in, is actually possibly his salvation. Although he is in a dark, deep place, although he is in a place of dread, he still can hold out hope that the darkness is not too thick and the depths are not so deep that God cannot hear his prayer. Dr. Janet Howe Gaines says, the trip into the behemoth's innards is a descent. Yet the creature is not simply a monolith of dread. It actually represents Jonah's monstrous misdeeds, but it is also an instrument of salvation. For 3 days, Jonah abides on the threshold of self-annihilation, a voyage into his inner being. And by dying to his physical self, as represented by his disappearance into the fish's belly, Jonah can receive God's forgiveness and be reborn. And 3 days later, Jonah receives the sign that God has heard his prayers of repentance and his petitions. He receives a sign that shows him that God is not angry at him. He receives a sign that says, yes, you have fallen down, Jonah, but it is now time to get back up. And the great fish releases him at dry land, and Jonah can literally breathe a sigh of relief. Dr. William Call III, who I mentioned just a few moments ago, he writes, Jonah was delivered from the mouth of the fish, brought up out of the water in an almost baptismal-like experience. And God tries again with Jonah. What a word of grace and challenge all rolled into one. The scriptures say, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Were there ever any kinder words written anywhere else? And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God gave him a second opportunity to make things right. Jonah is given a second chance. God gives Jonah the same commandment that sent him running away in the first place. God has work for Jonah to do, and God will not give up on Jonah being his vessel of salvation for the Ninevites. Dr. Carl goes on to say that this whole interaction, Jonah's second chance to make things right, are not just music to Jonah's ears, but it should be music to our ears as well. If God was willing to do this with Jonah, why would God not be willing to do this with us? Dr. Carl says, notice that God never lets up and never gives up on us. Grace and challenge, forgiveness and responsibility are intertwined. Our sin and God's loving call to action are seen in stark contrast here, set side by side, juxtaposed against one another. But our actions, or our lack thereof, never cancels out God's love for us. When we fall, when we fail, when we mess up, when we feel like we are descending into the depths like Jonah, when we feel like we are descending into the dark places of life, that's not always a bad thing. Descending can be a part of the process that God uses to get us where God is trying to send us, where God is trying to take us in the first place. That's part of the irony of the grace that is shown to ragamuffins like you and me. Although it is a good thing when we do as we should do the very first time, God is still able to use us, and sometimes even more so after we've fallen down. Brennan Manning, again, the author of Ragamuffin Gospel, he wrote these words. When I get honest, I admit I am a bundle of paradoxes. I believe and I doubt. I hope and I get discouraged. I love and I hate. I feel bad about feeling good. I feel guilty about not feeling guilty. I am trusting and I am suspicious. I am honest and I still play games. Aristotle said, I am a rational animal. I say I am an angel with an incredible capacity for beer. I love his honesty. He goes on to say, to live by grace means to acknowledge my whole life story, the light side and the dark. In admitting my shadow side, I learn who I am and what God's grace means to me. I really don't know too many truer words. God's grace is found in our perfect obedient days, as well as the days when God interrupts us and asks us to do things we just don't understand, and we eventually falter. God's grace is found consistently through all of those things. I end this morning with a quote from Reverend Colin S. Smith that's found in his book, Jonah, Navigating a God-Centered Life. Reverend Smith writes, when God interrupts your life, he is calling you to follow him in a new way. By breaking into your settled pattern, he is moving you to a new place where you can make fresh discoveries of his grace. Embracing God's call is never easy, but this is where the pursuit of a God-centered life begins and where the shame of self-centered life is exposed. May our days be filled more with fresh discoveries of faith that involve not just ourselves and those that we love, but with those whom we don't necessarily love, but would benefit from experiencing God's grace and love as much as we have. Amen. Let us pray together. God, we thank you for the example that we have from your book of Jonah. Jonah did what he thought was best and fell mightily and received the just punishment for it. But we are so thankful that that was not the end of his story. And when we fall, Lord, it is not the end of our story either. You pick us up, like my grandmother used to do me, and you dust us off, and you give us a hug and a kiss, and you send us back out. Sometimes it's hard for us to remember that, Lord. Sometimes all we can see are the things that we think we have done wrong, and we just think about how you may potentially be angry. Remind us, Lord, that you are our loving Father, and that nothing that we do will cause you to turn your back on us. When the world discards us, when our friends no longer speak to us, we can always depend upon you. And I pray that we would find encouragement in that on a daily basis. But that we would not just hold that to ourselves, that we would not just keep that close to our chest, but that we would share that wonderful news with your world, with your other created human beings, and that they would find out about this love for themselves as well. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the grace that you show to ragamuffins just like us. In Jesus' name, amen. I would ask everyone please stand and we will prepare for our benediction. But before we have our benediction, I'm going to ask that Ben, Cameron, Amanda, and Olivia come up here, please. Or just come forward, please. We have, on behalf of West Grove Baptist Church, we have a few gifts for you all. We know that Ben graduated and is moving on to different things. Cameron will still be with us for a few Sundays, but he will be leaving soon as well. And Amanda and Olivia will actually remain, and we are thankful for that. We wanted to make sure to give you all just a simple gift from the people of Western Groves to say that we are very thankful for your time here with us, that we appreciate you all. We want to make sure that you all know and understand how important you all are to us. And pray that people will bless you and make you come. So,
as we prepare to leave this place and to go about life and experience all that the world has for us in the coming week, I pray that we would remember and that we would understand that essentially we are all ragamuffins in need of grace. And when we find ourselves falling, we can be comforted in knowing that God willingly extends grace to us and lifts us up out of the depths, dusts us off, and sets us on the path again. And for this, we can be thankful. Amen.